Hello, welcome to the Mac Show. Yes, we're here to discuss all of the big goings on that have been in the Apple world, and it's been absolutely brilliant. Rife with news. Just what we need. Couldn't be better. And we've got a bumper panel. 8 of us here, no less, to discuss it. But 7 are doing the talking and 1's keeping dumb, otherwise he's in big trouble. Starting us off, top left, it's Chris. Gabs, what are you doing here, mate? You got the wrong night.
Good, yeah. Yeah, well, what is it? One Friday a year we get off work, so what better way to spend it than cut the grass and come and hang out with you guys?
Apart from the obvious, have you had a good week?
Yeah, it's been an alright week, busy week, but up and down to London on Wednesday for a meeting. Managed to spend a bit of time on the train, relax. So yeah, it's not been bad at all. Not been a bad week. It's a 4-day week, so even better.
I'm working this weekend, then I got the train on Saturday and Monday because they've closed Euston Station on Sunday, so I can't go down. So I've got Saturday, Monday. I'm all right. I'm happy. Love the train.
Good.
Love the train. Next to him, it's... hang on. Who's next to him? Next, Adam.
I am.
How are you doing, mate?
I'm here. Hanging out.
What's been happening, mate?
How you doing?
You're busy last week.
What's happening? as Patrick Quirk says in the chat, just trying to figure out where Northern Ireland is.
Why? wait, now, come on. You did tweet out that you've been a typical American.
I totally screwed up.
Well, you're pretty good, though.
I wrote something wrong in my show notes, and it was late when I was recording the show, and I knew better. But, of course, Gazmaz, you know, sent me a message. Hey, man. They are Northern Ireland and Ireland are on the same continent because I had implied that they weren't.
Well, no, they're on the same.
Ooh. I mean, on the same landmass.
Yes,
I said land, and I did say landmass in the show. I said they were on separate landmasses, but they, of course, are on the same one.
Yes,
and it was totally my fault, and I screwed it up, and I apologized profusely.
Mate, everybody. Trust me, that's not the worst you can do. There's probably people in Britain think that as well.
Wait. You have to understand the context, though, because it was all in the context of trying to relay a story from Bart Bichotz, who had to argue with someone from Apple support that Belfast was not in Ireland. And she insisted that there was an Apple store in Ireland. So I should have known better.
I should have been more careful. See, now that's where it's really complicated because Northern Ireland is still Ireland. It's just not ERA. It's not the Free State. So, and if you want to, everyone who was born in Northern Ireland can apply for a Free State pass because they're in Ireland. Hang on, because the rugby team play as the body of Ireland, whether they come from the north or the south.
Yep.
So, and then when you get into whether it's the UK or Great Britain and Northern Ireland, man, that starts a war. So don't feel bad.
Okay. I don't feel bad, but to finish up the context of the story, you know, it was pretty bad because he was just trying to get mail-in support from Apple and they were refusing to give it to him because there was an Apple store in Ireland and she insisted
that's ridiculous.
That it was in Ireland. And he had to explain to her it was a separate country.
Did she bow down?
She said no.
She said no. She didn't bow down to his greater knowledge in the end.
No, he had to go to second tier support, and then that guy apologized. So,
and then he took reference from NASA, presumably. I got to say, NASA's geography is pretty good. I did watch this week. There is a file if you're in the Slack. There is a file that you can download. Thanks to Markop, who recorded a Chris Hadfield lecture. And Chris Hadfield's geography is pretty damn good. Yeah, I was quite impressed.
That was a learning. It was a learning week for me.
Yeah,
it was good.
He pointed out the Severn, and he pointed out the Solent as well, not just the Isle of Wight. Solent. Just quite impressed with that. I suppose it's in case they ever have to land there by mistake. But welcome, mate. Patrice, you managed to wiggle out of a meeting to come.
Yeah, I basically, because of Easter weekend, I was able to move a meeting that I usually would have every 2 weeks at this time.
But typically, of course, Germany starts its bridging month. Are you finding it hard having to work every day in April?
Not at all. I mean, I've never been a big fan of public holidays and bridging days and all of that. So, no, actually quite easy.
I'm going to get an email this week that says, well done from staying away from the annual joke about how the hell did you fight a Second World War? Because I'm going to. I'm not saying it.
It's going to come.
Same.
Yeah, you just did.
Jamesy Rick, yeah. How you doing, man?
Bonsoir, how are we? Yes, typically the French are celebrating Easter by closing all the airports and going on strike, which is lovely.
You've got to love the French, haven't you? They sleep all the rest of the year and then they strike when they're actually at work.
Oh, dear. There was that funny joke I heard somebody say. I forget what it was. It's like, why do the French people eat snails? It's because it's the only thing they can catch. I love them. They are great.
Oh, mate, but this show is funny. No friend of the cheese-eating surrender monkeys. Don't feel bad.
No, come on.
Oh, one. Boy.
But no, great week. I've been recording a whole bunch of tutorials for my up-and-coming business venture. And looking at a few hours over here, it's been a great week.
You're all thinking I'm going to get letters of complaint, but the only people that listen over in France to us actually agree with me.
Or just me. Just me.
No. We got French listeners. We're doing okay. We've got French listeners as well.
Wow.
Yeah. Next to him, it's William. How you doing, mate? And Marwood, his boy, who's promising to be quiet. Oh, he's got a lollipop in his gum. Will's had to break out the emergency lollipop.
Well, I thought the gobstopper would be a good option. I'd like to big up the French because my time with Jim in France, the French were delightful. Charming really lovely.
When you meet them one at a time, they're excellent.
No, they used to gang up on me in darkened streets on foggy nights. No, they were lovely, absolutely lovely. So I'm going to big up the French.
Okay, well done, mate. Glad you're here. And welcome Marwood too, mate. And last but by no means least, Martin Kelly is here from the London Mac User Group, passing by. Fancy a cuppa? I don't know if I'm a cuppa because I was the throws are setting up. Sorry, pal.
Sorry, that's okay. I managed to swim in tonight. It was lethal out there. Can you hear me better now?
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, no, it was like lethal out there on the motorway. Like it would have.
It came down hard, didn't it?
A bit, yeah. But got here, glad to be here. So nice to see all the guys live.
Excellent, mate. Glad you're in. The week in Apple. What's gone on? What's been big? What's been happening? Well, we had the Apple event, of course, which they didn't televise, but then they've put up anyway on the Apple TV if you want to go and watch it. Mm. And it's not bad. Tim's had a bit of a sit-down with Cara Swisher and pals, so there's a few things come out of that. Most notably, they go, so, Tim, what would you do if you were in Mark Zuckerberg's shoes? I wouldn't be in them. Good answer. My moral compass wouldn't have let me go there. That's fine.
He also probably would have never created Facebook.
It wouldn't have been different. It would have been completely different from what it currently is.
I'm not even sure he would have had the idea.
Well, no,
you mean it would have been it would have been Ping.
Yeah, good point. Good point. No, yeah, he'd have cut that up too. Not good.
Isn't he in a bit of shock this week that Apple aren't in the firing line? Microsoft, Facebook, everyone else is getting it. Apple seem to be having a good week, but no bad stuff.
Yeah, definitely. Who's making all the noise? Please stop. Is it your microphone banging on your shirt, Will?
It might have been.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. Blame Howard.
No. You're going to need to stop it, mate.
First he's morning.
Pissing me off.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
Right, so the Apple event, we got a brand new iPad. Did we like it? And it's $329 bucks as well, man.
Yeah.
You got to love
it. I think it's amazing. Deal, and I think it could even, I said this on my show, I think we could see a slight uptick in iPad sales, which hasn't happened for a while. So the next quarter of the results, I think there's a lot of people who were probably have been holding off on upgrading their older iPads. And if I was in that boat, I would be very interested in one of these new models. The new processor and the pencil support, I think it's a good deal.
So, yeah, especially since hardware-wise, the predecessor to that one wasn't really a good device. I mean, I think spec-wise, it even got worse than the one they sold before. So yeah, it's definitely
I never upgraded Erin's just because, although she had the iPad Mini 2, I think it was, absolutely needed an upgrade. It wasn't worth the upgrade to the last model. No way that I was going to be spending iPad Pro money for her, the way that she seems to drop it every 2 minutes. What's the UK cost for it? Is it 339, is it?
319.
It's not much. We don't get much difference.
There's not a lot of difference. She'll be getting one of them because her iPad absolutely needs an upgrade now.
Yeah, no.
And I mean, you basically get close to iPad Pro specs in a standard iPad. It's not identical. There are some things that it doesn't do, which I think also it doesn't need to do. But I mean, you get at least close to the specs that the iPad Pro currently has, and I think that is amazing if you think about the price.
Yeah, for almost half the price.
Yeah.
But this is also the first iPad that's not a Pro that's got pencil support, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is the pencil?
Now, I've got a friend with an iPad 9.7 iPad Pro, which he uses for drawing with, and he's already had some hands-on with the new iPad and says, I'm just going to sell it and buy this. It's so much quicker. Yes, you negate a few of the options that you had on the iPad Pro. But he said it's so quick and it feels new, you know. And he's been training on 9.7 iPad Pro in for it. So, be good.
Is the pencil support going to add to the sales though? Have people been kind of going, I'm not going to get a Pro because I can't afford it, but I'd really like a pencil, but it doesn't support on the lower version. Therefore, I'm not going to buy a pencil either. But now they're thinking like camps. Well,
yeah, okay, I think so.
And I'll still
I think for students who are artists too, like my daughter is taking art classes and her friend has an iPad Pro with an Apple Pencil, and she's been very envious because she really just can't afford the cost of a full iPad Pro. And so this is very enticing. And I think there's a lot of people in that camp too. And I think you have a lot of people who, you know, like the idea of the Apple Pencil, but have never been able to really justify the cost. So a lot of business people who just want maybe would like one for note-taking and meetings and things like that, or just doing annotations or markups, or, you know, and it was hard to justify needing the few extra features that the Pro had for the added cost. So, you know, I kind of really felt like this announcement, as much as it was done at a school event, I think it's going to have a much bigger impact at the consumer level, maybe even than it does at the school level.
Great point from Bob in the chat room. He's saying it would have been a better deal if the pencil was bundled in with the iPad, especially on for the schools. I can see why they wouldn't do it for the public, but if they'd done right, okay, it's 329 and it's 329 with a pencil for schools.
Well, and don't forget they did the deal with Logitech too for the $49. They call it the Crayon, but it basically has every feature that the pencil has, except, and all the same technology that Apple uses, except for the pressure sensitivity.
Yeah,
pressure. It's half the cost.
I was going to say for me that was one of the biggest things of the whole thing. I really enjoyed that, the fact they've given that technology to Logitech.
Well, the second I saw the Logitech pencil, I was like, that's great, because that's great for scribbling, but I can almost, and I hadn't read the text at that point. It was kind of like, now the AP is going to choke this down into something that's nothing more than a capacitive touch brush, which is what it is.
I thought, in general, that I was disappointed. I lacked that excitement part of it. I thought the introduction video was as cheesy as hell. It was just awful, cringeworthy, and I expected a lot more. I think that probably the biggest announcements during the keynote, or whatever you want to call it, announcements was more software rather than hardware. I can they call it a crayon? I'm sure they have to pay the crayon people a lot of money to be able to use that word.
No, that's Crayola you're thinking of.
Crayon is generic, yeah.
Yeah, crayon's generic.
Oh, is it really?
Crayola is the brand name, yeah. No, I can see what you're thinking there, yeah.
I was disappointed. I expected more. Let's put it that way.
We've got WWDC coming up soon, so we're going to see a lot more there.
Yeah.
I think this is primarily, I mean, when I worked for Apple, we did so much stuff with schools, and, you know, you always felt like you were trying to shoehorn this technology into schools, whereas I think that this event was really kind of Apple saying, look, we're taking this stuff seriously, and this is our real good stab at it. And I think actually, even down to the slides, they were all done on an iPad Pro, all the slides were put on the iPad. And I just thought the whole thing was really good. If it was a school event, which it was, it wasn't kind of aimed at the rest of us, which it wasn't live streamed.
To be honest, I did not expect any hardware announcement. I was hoping for exactly what they announced, to be honest, because I was thinking, especially for schools, they should do something like that. But I was actually expecting software for the most part, because that is, in my opinion, the area where they have the most work still to do. And I think with, what is it called? School kit, I think. Was it school kit? Some kit. Yeah. Class kit.
Class kit APIs, yeah.
Yeah, I think that will hopefully have a really big impact on classrooms, because that opens up the whole ecosystem, entire thing, to other manufacturers, to schools, to whoever is capable and wants to hook into that. And I think that will have the biggest impact.
You know, they announced a lot of nice software integration. The upgraded iCloud storage is a significant thing. The ability to mass bulk create special Apple IDs just for the student devices and things like that. All this stuff is good, great enhancements to the stuff Apple was doing in education already. But I mean, honestly, coming out of this, I feel like they did very little to change their position or where they're going to be in the long run in education. I mean, Apple has been doing iPads in education. They've been doing all this stuff before. So this was really an iterative update of stuff like Apple does, but it's not, I don't think it's going to change the massive it's not going to do anything to supplant Chromebooks and what Google and has been doing in education. And so I don't see this really changing the numbers for Apple. It's not that it's bad, you know, that these are bad things, but it further supplants Apple as like a premium brand. It's going to be in schools that have more money. This isn't going to get them in broader into education, I don't think.
Well, I don't know so much, because if you look at the amount of money you previously had to spend to get a functional iPad, not just an iPad, a functional iPad into schoolrooms, it was prohibitive. This is not prohibitive.
Yeah, but see, it's not about the hardware.
No. I think it is. I think it is about the hardware. I think the fact that they've pulled out a $329 iPad, that's a purchasable item for a school. You could buy one of those for every kid in a lot of schools, not necessarily every school. Deprived areas, maybe not so much. But there is. I think there is a bigger market because of that. They've opened a door that wasn't there.
In the UK, in academies and in private schools.
Maybe it's different over there.
I think outside academies in the UK, I don't think many schools have the funding.
It's still a lot of money. If I ask my boy now, Sunshine, would you prefer an iPad or a laptop?
Laptop.
From like a Chrome laptop, yeah?
No, not a phone.
Why? Because that's what Daddy's told you to say.
15 inch.
He wants a MacBook Pro.
A laptop or an Apple iPad.
He chooses
an iPad. He says he'd choose an iPad. Between that and a Chromebook, he'd choose an iPad.
Yeah.
Ooh, so Apple hit the Chromebook market.
Why would you choose an iPad?
Marwood, get closer to Daddy's microphone.
Try it again.
This is made by Apple.
Just that alone. Yes. God, there's indoctrination for you. Marwood, Marwood, I've been working on it for years. Can you spell indoctrination?
So So when you have an iPad in school, or if you had a Chromebook with a keyboard in school, why would you choose the iPad over the Chromebook?
Because for an iPad, I could just get my Bluetooth keyboard, because we have three of them, and then attach it to the iPad, use the keyboard on the iPad, and also the iPad is touchscreen.
Well, I think some Chromebooks are touchscreen, aren't they?
No, stop trying to tell him what to think, Will. He's got his opinion. Leave him be.
I think the MDM stuff that they've released is okay. I think moving iBooks across the pages, I think that's a really good move. And I think there's some sort of licensing changes that you can... You can sort of create your iBooks and sell them now. There's some sort of licensing changes, I think, using the EPUB format.
Right.
Am I right?
Yeah, they're actually not using the iBooks format on pages. It's actually EPUB 3.
Mm. Go on.
Sorry, I was going to say that, I was... when the first iPad came out, I had the pleasure of actually meeting the head teacher at an event in Reed Street, where he gave a demo with all the students what they were doing with the first iPad when it came out. And I think sometimes it's that thing that, when we think the iPad first came out, 2010, was it?
Yep.
These teachers were making the iPad. Basically, this was the first school which was every child had an iPad. And it was just amazing to see these teachers make this iPad work in the classroom. And I think after seeing that event just the other day, these guys were jumping for joy because they've had to, jump through hoops and try to make it work for their situation. They were doing a great job, by the way, but they were stunning the audiences of what the kids were painting, what they were creating with the instruments on it at the time. Most I always think back to that day that, they were the first school, in Scotland to have one iPad per pupil, and we're doing great things with it even back then.
So when the iPad first came out, I had probably one of the first ones in the UK because Andrea Zaniga, who was working in, he was living in Florida at the time, basically walked into the Apple store, bought two, pocketed hers, walked mine across the street into the UPS store and posted it to me on the Friday. And I had it arrived on the Wednesday, and Wednesday afternoon, I was in Touchwood at Solihull showing everyone there. And there's a massive crowd of people around me. And the only thing that was worth downloading in the store at the time was Shuffleboard, because there was nothing else. Because we got it like 6 or 8 months before, US got it 6 or 8 months before the UK.
Yeah. And it's not that the technology and the hardware is not good, and it's not something that if you have it in your school, it's going to be a great teaching tool and a great thing to have. The problem, what I'm trying to say is, like, I don't think Apple has done much to change the fact that they have to change the minds of administration and IT people. Mm-hmm. And, the teachers want these things, but they don't get to make the decisions about what technology goes into the classroom. And there's great tools for that stuff, but they still have to sell this into all of these departments, and they need a lot more effort, I think, on the cloud side of things and the management side of things. And, Google lets schools use their entire platform with the school's domain. They're not having to set up individual, iCloud accounts for students and stuff like that. And that's why what Apple did with the iCloud accounts and the bulk ability to create those is a really important step forward. Like, I think that's a big deal. And the whole shared iPad thing is a big step forward in that. But now they've got to sell it to the people who can make those decisions. And I think that's an uphill battle for them at this point. And I just didn't see a lot in this announcement that I think will change that. The training and the curriculum stuff is really important too, but they have to have people on the ground and in schools doing that. And I know they have teams for that, but I didn't get the sense that they were really ramping that up or changing that. So that was my
or even make, away from even it. Making I mean during the event even making that point and somehow pushing a message out to say, hey, we're doing this, this is why you should do it. It was more, okay, here are the tools that you need, and why
it's all the value proposition too. They have to convince them that you're going to spend a little more up front, but in the long run you're going to be better off for it. And again, that's a hard sell right now when a lot of schools, at least over here, I don't know how it is over there, but a lot of schools over here are looking at Chromebooks and going, well, they're $200 throwaways. So if we have one and it breaks, we just buy a new one, no big deal. And everything's in the cloud. We don't have to worry about a lot of the management because that's really easy for our staff and people. And, you know, it's almost like it's kind of sad because it's like a throwaway thing. And it's just, you know, we use Google Docs and we use Google Storage, and that's it.
I think the biggest issue in the UK is what I said about, the academies and the private schools have probably got funding for that, or they can make the funding work for that. In the non-academized schools, that the budgets just don't sit there for them to roll out multiple devices per classroom. Probably my daughter's school, it doesn't, I'm a governor there, doesn't do bad for funding. The head teacher really manages their budgets well and puts the money in the right places. However, there is no chance that there's budget within that school to be able to, even at the discounted price of, I think it's $299 for education, for the new iPad, be able to put several 10 in each classroom, let alone knocking on 30 so each child can have one each. It just doesn't exist.
No, it simply doesn't work, doesn't it? So I used to be a teacher, and I used to sort of teach IT, bizarrely, and that sort of budget, when we're talking sort of £300 an iPad. And you could pretty much halve that with a Chromebook. And I believe it would give you a lot more functionality, and the management part of it is a lot more accessible and easy to manage for the IT guys who are looking after the Chromebooks. And I sort of agree, it's going to be, it is almost throwaway, but I think for education, a Chromebook is a better option than an iPad. But at home, that's something different.
I think in primary schools, you've kind of got an ICT class, and the ICT class might have a dozen machines, 20 machines in that room, which are probably shared from a class. But in the classroom, in the majority of UK schools, I think it's still books, it's still pens, it's still paper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with you. I suppose my point of view is slightly warped because I was IT / ICT teacher. It just used to be based around computers. One point I think we've missed that it is a positive when it comes to the new iPads is you can have, so you've got a class of 15 to 30 children, but now we can have iPads that can not dual boot, but they can have different login information for different students, and I think that's really good. That's really positive.
That's the shared iPad stuff, and that stuff's amazing with how it works, and that's another big reason why they upped the iCloud storage from 5 gigs to 200 gigs, because what essentially happens is the teacher can deploy a shared set of iPads. The student comes in, it's got their picture on the iPad, so they know which one is theirs. They tap on it, they enter a login pin, and then all of their stuff is synced over from their cloud account. And that ties into the ClassKit stuff. So for the apps that deploy that stuff, they can assign specific assignments within an app. And then as the student's working, it's all synced to the cloud. And so when the student logs off and turns that back in, it's refreshed and they can set it up for the next student. And that's super important. You know, that management part was something that was really missing. And that was something that was difficult for schools. So again, it's not the technology that's necessarily the problem, or the hardware that's the problem. That's all good. Like I said, I think the challenge is like getting them into schools and getting teachers and students and administrators to understand how they fit into the classroom and getting them to make the investment in that. And that's where the challenge is. And that's where Apple has to do a lot of the work now.
Is that where the cleverness has been in the advertising though? Because you've got the little girl running around doing the thing in the garden where she goes, what's a computer? That's come weeks and weeks and weeks ahead of this event, clearly starting to get the heart and mind moving towards the fact that kids won't know what a computer is. So it's already working psychologically on the on the school boards and the teachers, adults.
Yes, teachers want these things. The thing is like that's just great. Okay, they want
the groundswell's going
to
come up.
But they have to convince the people with the money to spend the money on them, and they have to be able to show progress, and they have to. So it's really an on the ground effort that has to happen from Apple's perspective.
But the groundswell will come up. That's the point. Is that they've started working on the general public at the idea. Your kid, if your kid wants to succeed in life, they're going to have an iPad. So that pressure will then come from the ground up, or even to the point where they allow kids to buy their own through the school. And then there'll be a mechanism for them to have an iPad training process, and the school can say, right, we'll subsidize the iPad. We'll give it $50 off, $100 off or whatever, because we get a discount anyway, and then we've got some budget that we can chuck into it. And at the end of the school year, that will be your kid's iPad. There's got to be, there's mechanisms of doing that, and they've started playing on them mentally already with that app.
And that's actually a great idea. I mean, Apple is kind of doing something close to that for business, where you can basically set up portals for your employees where they can order their gear. And actually what you just said, I mean, having a portal that parents can order an iPad and get it discounted, and maybe even the school kicks in, I don't know, $50 and says, we will use this for school. So if you buy it, you get it even cheaper. And at the end of the year, it's yours. That would actually be great and not too hard for Apple to do. So why aren't they doing that?
There's a wedge in here, isn't there? There's like bigger schools that have got more money. You'll buy it straight away. They'll be on the phone right now. And then there's other ones where in the future, that there can be a promotional mechanism that comes from Apple or from the school. Boards themselves.
Coding is a. Sorry.
Go on.
I was just going to say one thing related to this that ties into what I'm talking about that I think they need to do a lot more is after this, they made an announcement with a school in Chicago, I think, where they're setting up a teaching and learning hub for teachers to come in and learn how to set up and build curriculums around Apple's products. And they kind of need to do that everywhere or be going into schools and doing those sorts of programs. So there's a follow-up to this that it looks like they're going to start doing, but they really need to like push that a lot more forward if the plan is to try and, again, get in back into schools in a large way, because they have been losing ground to Google.
Yeah. Marwood?
Yes?
You go strangle your sister for me, please, mate.
Okay.
Please don't.
Why?
No, I'm joking. She's not. Don't actually strangle her. That's not what I was saying. Yeah.
That's not us.
Oh, is
it? There's only Marvel and I here.
Is that your sister? Is it one of your many women running around the house gargling? Or is it Camps? No, it's Camps.
It could be mine.
I feel so bad now. I blame the wrong child.
I know.
What
do you say?
No, it's fine, mate. I'm joking. That's why.
No. What do you say?
It's like Seth, if you need me to.
That's why I said go strangle your sister, because I didn't actually mean it. You know.
Okay. What I was going to say, coding is very much a key part of ICT / IT curriculum at the moment, and. So Swift is great. I mean, it's really good. I'm trying to get Martin to Swift, although I'd rather get him to learn JavaScript.
What?
Swift is a coding language.
That's going well then, Will.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get him into Swift. What's that?
Well, I am trying, but anyway. But the point, have you ever tried to code JavaScript on an iPad or code anything on an iPad?
Five-year-old.
Yes, it is possible.
It is possible, but it's blooming hard work.
It's not designed for it, actually.
Exactly, it's not designed for it. The iPad is not designed for it. What the iPad is designed for is ready-made code that is deployed.
You're not going to say why isn't the iPad designed for Java?
No.
JavaScript and Java are very different things, by the way.
Yeah, JavaScript is different.
No, I know, but why? Either way, why is the iPad not designed for Java?
Yeah, have you tried coding on a blooming iPad? It's impossible.
Yes.
Well, it's possible, but it takes a long time. Whereas with a Chromebook, you can code quite easily. Because of the keyboard, essentially.
I mean, at least if it's HTML, JavaScript, it's not that hard. There are services out there, just like on the Chromebook, but I mean, the same thing, basically. There are services out there, you go to the website, and you get a full IDE, a really good IDE, actually, that actually works.
So, Will, it's you.
Did you hear my word earlier? Will, you attach a Bluetooth keyboard, and you go on your way.
There's another point.
Your son's grasped it.
but it's this sort of rubbishy Bluetooth thing that the teacher has to put up with making sure the iPad is charged and now making sure the keyboard is charged.
No, actually, Will, because Logitech have also released a Toughbook, which has got a smart connector on it. So you just plug your iPad into it, and it's also rather beefy, so it'll stand a bit of abuse in your school bag. How cool is that?
No smart connector, though.
It says it's got a smart keyboard connector. Has its own smart keyboard connector.
No, the new iPad hasn't got a smart connector.
On the updated iPad, so I don't know how
Logitech's
that would work.
Logitech's new rugged case for iPad has its own smart keyboard connector. The case has got a connection on it. It didn't say that it plugs
the
in.
The iPad has, yeah.
It plugs into the iPad.
Yeah.
I don't think it does. The new iPad.
Stop. You're all thinking that the iPad has got a smart connector. That's not what it says. The case has got a connector that goes into the iPad.
What does it connect to?
It might just be lightning or something.
It goes in the lightning port, surely.
Then internally.
Oh, cool.
Yes.
Well, that's cool.
That is awesome.
I'm glad I'm paying attention this week. That's a good point. There's only me and Marwood are paying attention this week.
No, I just missed that on the Logitech thing. I just assumed because the new iPad didn't have a smart connector that Logitech was using Bluetooth. Yeah,
they've got around it. See, actually, Logitech are really quite well partnered and situated, aren't they, to kind of grasp a bit of that market. The Crayon's kind of cool. The Tough case is brilliant, but you can't find it on their website at the moment.
Yep. It has a pass-through connector too, so they don't have to take it out of the case to charge it. They can just plug it right in and charge and keep it connected.
See, that's cool. That's the kind of stuff that's going to get people interested, get the market moving forward, eh?
Oh, I would always say as well, regarding typing on an iPad as opposed to a Chromebook, that sort of stuff, you know, we're very lucky. We have the ability to test these things out. You know, your friend's got one, you get to try a Chromebook. If you've got an iPad, you can try it on that. If you're on a desert island and you get given an iPad, trust me, you'll do everything on it. It's just a case of getting used to that technology and using it. Agreed?
Yeah.
I do most of my things on it.
That's it. I think if you can always say, I prefer the Chromepad, that's great. If you've got access to a Chromepad, probably use it. But if you've only got an iPad, it's amazing. My friend gave up his MacBook Pro a year ago, and he bought an iPad, the big Pro one, and he's produced his first album on it. That's incredible. Right. You know, a proper Logic guy, and he's produced his first album on it. That's incredible.
I don't get this. Bob Beach has put down, but you need a keyboard, hence more additional expense compared to a Chromebook. And he's also put,
correct,
where the hell would you charge it on a desert island?
He's right about that.
Bob's got it in for me.
Well, yeah. No, Bob's on my side, mate. Bob said I was right last week on The Big Show, and he said Jeff was right on The Big Show. He gave me a doctorate last night for my thesis on beer consumption, tramadol, and elbow pain.
Bob always leaves the chat room before the picks. I've noticed, Bob.
Does he?
I know what you're up to. Yes, I've noticed, Bob. Don't think nobody else is in the chat room.
I haven't noticed. You grumpy old bastard, Bob. Stay around for the picks or else. We'll kick him. I need to restart because everyone's frozen. Just hold fire, eh, fellas? Yeah. Absolutely.
She winds him up, and then next thing you go in, he's sat on her, like grabbing her hair and stuff. He's like, well, you shouldn't have wound him up.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Angela still. Sorry, mate.
No.
Apple has revamped the Apple ID so that the website so that you can download all your data. Is this a GDPR thing, do you think?
Yes.
Yes.
All to do with that. Nothing else whatsoever.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so. Makes it easier. It's the way that as a user, you can go directly and just download it rather than have to put a written request in for it.
Can you delete it on this interface, though? Because I can't read that you can. You can only download it. Which, I mean, doesn't satisfy GDPR as far as I see, because GDPR is about getting rid of what you don't want, isn't it?
If you delete your account, does it not delete all that data? Like if you just,
I don't know,
say I want to cancel my Apple ID. I thought that was already in place. I assume if I cancel my Apple ID, that Apple doesn't retain my data, that they just.
You assume. But the thing is, I mean, that's not as not really as cut and dry as it sounds, because you have backups of your data. I mean, as a provider of services, you have backups of the data. And sometimes, I mean, you still want to use the service. You just want them to delete something or, I mean, historic data or whatever. So it's, as I said, it's not as easy.
I've just found a little link.
I'm sitting thinking everyone's bloody frozen, and you're all just sat reading.
I've just found a link on silicon.co.uk, and he's saying there that the change will allow users to download a copy of the data Apple holds on them, as well as allowing them to correct the personal information, temporarily deactivate their Apple ID account, or permanently delete it.
So who has got the data, do you think? Do you think it's Apple, or is it possibly Google?
Because it's on Google's framework, isn't it? Yes.
Yep. Yeah. It's you would it's hope totally that Google.
Apple was controlling it. Otherwise, Tim would be like Mark Zuckerberg.
all the data that's on those servers is encrypted with Apple keys. So while the data physically resides on the server, Google has no access to it, and it's all encrypted.
No. Oh, I agree with that. But it's interesting that now Apple have admitted that. So when it comes to sort of your online storage, that's totally stored with Google. And also now they've come out and said that any AI stuff that's going on, again, is powered by Google. So .Mac or whatever they call it, Mobile Me or whatever, is purely Google now.
And there is an interesting point there, though, that if you delete your account, and you think you delete your stored data, and the data isn't removed, it's just sat on the Google server. It doesn't leave the Google server, but it's not actively used by Apple anymore, but it's still physically there. Google can't access it because of the encryption key issue. What then happens if someone finds out that data's there, and then there is an FBI iPhone case type thing where they say you've got to unlock the data because there may be something incriminating in there, even though the account was deleted?
Well, when it comes to keys, with Google, you can accept a key from Google, but Google can still access the data unless you create your own key, and then Google can't. So, I don't remember how
you could get a situation where Google have got data they can't open because they haven't got the key. Apple have, but the account was deleted through Apple, but Google have remained the data.
Yeah.
But in this case, it's not a problem, because if nobody has the key to it, it's very unlikely.
Well, Apple would have the key. The thing.
If they delete your account and they delete the key, it's gone.
Yep.
All right,
delete the key when you delete your account. That's actually what happens when you remote wipe your iPhone. Like, the data doesn't get wiped. What happens is all the data on your iPhone is encrypted with a key, and Apple throws away the key. And then once the key's gone, it can never be unencrypted or unlocked.
But surely if you've gone through Apple and you've chosen a Google key rather than creating your own key,
you can,
which you have to. Well, if you're really precious about your data, you have to create your own key. But if you don't create your own key and it's a Google created key, then
it wouldn't be
even if Apple. You delete your Apple. It wouldn't be a Google can still key. Access.
No, it wouldn't be a Google created key.
It's
an Apple generated key.
That's the thing. Apple creates the key.
iOS 11 dropped. Everyone downloaded it?
Nope.
11.3 on my iPhone 8. Absolutely fine.
Right. So anyone's want to moan about the fact that Messages has gone on iCloud?
What?
Messages on iCloud has gone.
Oh, they didn't. I mean, they introduced it in a beta and then removed it again. I think it's simply they're having, just like AirPlay 2, they're having issues with it somehow. So they're adding it to the beta and then removing it again.
Yeah. So are those two features still in the developer, the next developer version?
No, not at the moment.
Oh, really?
Are we talking about Messages in the cloud or just Messages the entire app?
No, Messages in the cloud.
Okay.
Okay. So Messaging in the Cloud is gone and AirPlay 2 is gone in the live version from the beta version that was out before.
Right, yeah.
But it's gone from the developer copy
as
well.
They removed it, I think, a month ago or something. So
But what I'm thinking is if they ran it as a beta to public and then they deleted it from the developer stuff, there must be something seriously wrong with it.
Either,
I don't know why. I can't figure out why they would be having so much trouble or why it's taking so long to do that. But obviously something's going on. And I guess the good news is they obviously want to get it right and not have it screwed up when it goes out. So I'd rather they take more time and it doesn't munge all my data than, you know, have something that's sort of half working.
Yes, because everyone hates munging.
I've had zero issues with it, so I'm not part of the group that seems to have issues with it, but I mean, I'm guessing there must be a bigger group somewhere that under certain circumstances it simply doesn't work properly or does something it shouldn't, because otherwise Apple wouldn't have removed it right away. I think it was just in one beta version and they removed it right after. So
is the 1G or 2G's in munged?
I think just one.
Just one. Cool. I'm going to put that in as the show title now, and it's not going to put a wiggly red line under it. The real word, to munge.
It's not 2G, it's LTE.
To munge. No, don't answer that. I just had that real thought. What is this? Siri, what is to munge?
She's going to know.
It's probably in my slanguage book that we talked about. CEO Tim Cook says, it's not true that iPhone's not made in the United States. After coming under pressure for his close ties to China, he has said that there's lots of places make lots of iPhone components. It's just Apple that is just China that's the final assembly. So he didn't say what does get made in the US.
No, that's actually known. There are a couple of chips that are produced in the US, for example. So that's actually known. It has been known for quite a while. Texas Instruments actually is big in manufacturing stuff in the US for Apple. To be honest, most things are actually, I mean, most products that come out of China the components aren't even produced in China. They're produced all over the world and then shipped there and just assembled in China. That's why on a lot of products it actually says assembled in China.
Yeah, but it's just interesting that he's defending something, but then doesn't give a list of anything.
Yeah.
It says honest. Honest gov. Oh, hi.
Whoa, somebody's dropped a bowling ball.
Mate, I'd go and check on Seth.
That's not me. That wasn't in my arms.
It's the boy on mute. No, it can't be, because you're on mute, James, so...
I think it's my dog dropping his bone down the stairs. Sorry. My bad.
He's dug the wife up from under the patio and he's dropping her down the stairs bone by bone.
Well, now I have a choice. Different wives, it's all good.
You've got a choice, yeah. No. How many are you down to now, though? Have a few gone?
No, Easter holidays here, which means there's probably about eight here now that I've got. So I'm getting cooked for Friday, Saturday, Sunday and Monday.
Mate.
That is good. Like. Send me one, Jim.
Send me a woman. How much for your wife? Is that the Blues Brothers? How much for your wife? How much for your wife? Is that Blues Brothers? It is Blues Brothers, isn't it? How much for your wife?
I don't know. Sound like Oh, you're my wife now. What was that?
Yeah. Extra mash.
Extra mash. The brodzie.
Extra mash.
Well, that's hello, isn't it, in Polish? Or Czechoslovakian? No, it's... you know, Labas is Lithuanian. It is. It's Jakša Mas is Polish.
Okay.
Dobroże. Dziękuję. Jedno piwo proszę.
It's very good, isn't it?
Well, that's all I know in Polish is jedno piwo proszę, which is one beer, please, and Dobroże, which is okay, thank you, or well, or whatever, and the other one.
That's more than I know.
Cześć, jak się masz? Hello, how are you? I had a woman on in a thing where I impressed her, where she said, oh, I'm Polish, and I said, cześć, jak się masz? And she went off on one, and it was just like, that's all I know. Stop, that's all I know. I don't have any more.
In French, they have coordonnées, which means, how's it going? And yeah, you don't really want to sack somebody because they will tell you how it is going. Ah, bonjour, coordonnées. Ah, oui.
So Adam has Wikipedia'd Munge, and he's. I think you've left the E off there, mate. I think there's got to be an E on Munge, magic E.
No, it's either spelling is correct because the acronym that was later applied to it is Mash Until No Good, M-U-N-G.
Because I've got nothing. When I clicked that link and it said, did you mean Munge computer term? Oh, now it's come up. Here we go. Oh, you can have an E as well. Okay. Series of potentially destructive or irrevocable actions to a piece of data or a file, sometimes used for vague data transformation steps that are not clear to the speaker.
Yep. It's a computer term. So basically, munging the data makes it unusable, and that's what I was referring to, is like syncing can sometimes. If it's messing up your data, it's certainly where you can't get it back. It's something it's you don't munched. Want.
Oh, I've learned something today, mate. Thank you.
Oh, yes. Thank you.
I've learned it's hard to do Java in an iPad, or not. He's posted an article for Will on how to do Java on an iPad as well.
All I'm saying, it's more convenient to have. That's all.
Yeah, okay. That's true.
I'd leave it there if I were you, Will.
Why? Is the Java police here? I mean, it's...
Yes.
But it... my little boy has switched off now.
Well, now, he's done rather well, I have to say. Well, would he like to read the UK2 ad?
I've already read it.
Yeah, but you need to read it. Right, listen.
Hang on. Ready? I'm going to text it to Dad. You ready? There we go.
UK2, get started, harness the power of solid-state drive-powered
SSD. Wow, that's way more technical than we do.
Hosting for just £5 a month.
I've sent the read to your dad.
Okay.
Where's the read? Come on, then. Come on, Marwood. You can do it, boy. You can do it, man. Come on.
Let me just grab my phone.
Here we go. Marwood is going to read the UK2 ad. I'll edit up to that point. When it gets interesting, because his reading sounds pretty good. Marwood, how long have you been reading, mate?
That was good, yeah.
Good. It's still some work to
do. Okay, so make sure you've got the mic off your dad, because he doesn't need it.
Yeah, no. Oh, okay.
Yank, Jesus! Well, you've got your ear left. Right, get yourself front and center in front of the camera, Marwood. Get the phone ready. You ready? Have you got the read, boys? No, don't put it that close, mate. You'll blow our ears out. Marwood, stick it in your ear, mate. Stick that in your ear, and then it'll be the right place.
Okay.
Don't eat it. You kill us all.
Okay. Okay. Yes.
Are you ready, mate?
You and I'll tell you what to say. Ready?
Okay. If you look on Google Chrome here, where you put the light.
No, I sent your dad the text, mate. Where's the text, Will?
No, I think it's something.
I've sent you a text.
can't find it because my phone's out.
His phone's out of battery.
Oh, what are you, light green?
So, ask you to...
You ready? All you got to do is repeat after me, Marwood. You ready?
Okay.
Time to talk about UK2.
Time to talk about UK2.
And I'll edit me out of it in the final cut, all right? Let me put the graphic up and then I can edit it out. Right, okay. Please, please, please support them because they support us.
Please, please, please support them because they support us.
We have loads of content on our servers that you can watch.
We have loads of content on our servers that you can watch.
Anytime.
Anytime.
Right the way back to our very first shows.
Right the way back to our very first show.
Please send out a tweet this week if you can.
Please send out a tweet this week if you can, because I can't.
Saying, because your dad's not got any battery in his phone. Saying, at UK2, thanks for sponsoring at British Tech.
At UK2, thanks for sponsoring at British Tech.
Go to britishtechnetwork.com/sponsors.
Go to British Tech Network /sponsors.
For the offer code.
For the offer code.
Or visit britishtechnetwork.com/UK2. britishtechnetwork.com/UK2.
britishtechnetwork/UK2.
If you just want to sign into your account and give us the kudos.
If you just want to sign into your account and give us the kudos, whatever that means.
Good lad. Thanks to UK2, because we couldn't do this without them.
Thanks to UK2, because we couldn't do this without
them. Awesome job, pal. Awesome job. Well done, man. And I got to say, mate, you've been absolutely...
By the way,
yes, mate.
Has anyone read the comment from Bobby Beach?
No.
I know more about tech than my dad because I totally agree with it.
I saw that.
Oh, we all thought it was too. A different comment that came out earlier on that had a naughty word.
I've read God it, for that. But...
Marwood, I want to say, mate, you've been absolutely brilliant. We asked you to keep quiet at the start and you've done a sterling job. Well done, pal. Top yeah. marks. Top, top marks. Extra ration of beans at dinner for you, pal.
I'm looking at the comments again.
Yeah, I think you're going to get well out of the comments, mate. You keep watching. You'll enjoy those.
Can I plug myself back in again?
Okay.
Time, well, he's not on for a while yet. Don't worry. Really time for the cool thing. Start us off, Monsieur Campion.
Okay, so mine's not a new one, but it's only last year, but to be honest, it's only now that I've just got around to playing it. Monument Valley was probably one of my most favourite iOS games that I've had, guiding Ida around the geometric Monument Valley world, overcoming various puzzles to get her through to the end. And Monument Valley 2, it came out last year. Like I said, it's only now that I've got around to downloading and having a little play. And what you do is Ro is the character this time, and she takes her daughter, teaches her daughter, and it's essentially more of the same. Slightly different world, new puzzles, new levels, the same stunning graphics all the way through, and a really nice little soundtrack as you go through the levels as well. So I've only been playing for about I started it on the train on the way home from London on Wednesday, but yeah, loving it so far. So if you've not played Monument Valley yet, you can get Monument Valley and Monument Valley 2 in a bundle by the App Store. It's a great game, you should go play it.
We gave Monument Valley to both kids. Ellis whizzed through it. Bryony took a little bit longer, but she finished Monument Valley. And then they said, can we have Monument Valley 2, Dad? Yeah, no problem. So on the family share thing, bought Monument Valley 2, gave it to her. Ellis starts off on it. One night, Bryony just runs into the kitchen and starts hugging me. She's in floods of tears. And I'm like, what's the matter? What on earth's going on? And she's bereft. She's absolutely beside herself. What on earth's gone on, Bryony? What's the matter, darling? She said, the little girl just lost her mom. I'm like, what? And it's in one of the levels, the two of them get separated, right. don't they? And Bryony was just like empathetic, just, oh, God, no, that's the worst thing ever. So you're all horrible.
You that it's good storytelling.
Whoever developed that game, you got my daughter's tears on your hands, mate. It's a brilliant game. Brilliant, brilliant game. Great pick, mate. Love those. Adam, what have you got for us, pal?
And the fat days of
I'm going to do a pick I picked a long time ago, probably, but bring it back because, you know, Will was talking about coding on the iPad, and there is a great code editor and text editor called Textastic. It's been around like for forever. It does all kinds of code highlighting. You can customize it with TextMate code syntax. It is super fast. It has additional tools to help you do coding on the iPad, and you can even set it up to have a JavaScript console so you can debug your JavaScript inside of it, and it runs on the iPad. So it supports Python, SQL, JavaScript, C, Objective-C, all the different languages you'd want to run. It'll integrate with your FTP servers and Dropbox, so you can put files in the cloud, take them out of the cloud. It is a great app. So if you want to play around and mess around with coding on the iPad and you're looking for something, check out Textastic.
I can't get it up on the iPad, on the MacBook for some reason, but never mind, I'll manage. What have you got for Patrice?
I think today I'm going to pick something that is in beta, so I would say, to use your best judgment, be a little bit careful. But it's 1Password version 7. 1Password just announced their latest beta version. I've installed it. It is actually way better. And I mean, 1Password was really awesome before, but it is actually better than version 6 in a lot of significant ways. Especially it's more reliable, and it's an open beta. So if you're interested in doing this, and if you have, I mean, the one caveat is you need a 1Password subscription. I think you can buy, if you have the standalone version, you can buy it, but or basically buy a beta, as far as I've understood it. But I have the subscription for 1Password. It is an awesome service. I can highly recommend it. It is really a really great experience. I mean, if you don't have already have the subscription, you will probably need to get it. But other than that, it is awesome. As I said, it's available for anybody who has the subscription already.
Excellent, mate. Thank you very much. Good pick. James, what have you got for us, mate?
Okay, guys, this is a kind of epic. I've worked out I've been playing computer games for about 31 years.
Is that like computer, as in like cumulative time? Based on what I see in the Slack room with you, mate, that is, you've played computer games non-stop for 35 years, of which 31 of them were.
It has been, mate. But you know what? There's certain games coming along in life, and they stay with you for a long time. And as I said, 31 years of playing games that I can think of. I actually formatted my Mac and put boot camp on it just to play this game. It is available on PC, Xbox, and PlayStation 4. And it's called Kingdoms Come Deliverance. It is absolutely phenomenal. I've just finished the main quest, and it took me a grand total of 127 hours. And part of that is because you kind of get lost on the quests that you're on. You play as Henry, a blacksmith's son, and you work your way up to be kind of this fantastic knight.
Five and a half full days, man.
It's epic. You can pick it up and just go hunting with your bow. You're rubbish at everything. When you first start off, you know, you're this batsman. You can't fight. You can't fist fight. You can't read. Can't hold a sword or actually play with your bow and arrow. But the game takes you through this process of learning all these things. You don't even get a to actually aim, you know, so you actually do things by your eye. It's just phenomenal. They just released a 1.4 update for it, which gives you HD textures and things.
So just to be clear, James, this only came out about 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So in 3 weeks, you have spent five entire days, not waking days, five entire days of 24 hours playing this game.
I have been known to be up till 3 a.m. playing it, yeah. It's don't get me wrong, it's just incredible. I think if you're a gamer and you're missing something of the old school Dungeons and Dragons, if you like, it's got no dragons in it, but it's just phenomenal. And just honestly, just Google it. It's fantastic. The best game I've played.
I play video games, but not that much.
Well done, Marwood. The voice of reason. Thank God the five-year-old knows what's... How old are you, Marwood?
I'm not five.
How old are you, mate?
I'm nine.
You're nine, and you're more sensible than him.
What can I say?
Excellent. Absolutely. Bloody hell. Hang your head in shame, mate. And we've all frozen again.
Do you need me to...
I got two Rickards, look.
Oh, what a player.
what are you like?
Look at his face. Look at his face.
Bloody hate technology. Jesus Christ. I know we're doing complicated stuff, Adam, but good God. Right, so it's Greeny's pick.
Ah, now, I've got an advanced tip when it comes to High Sierra, which I only learned about a couple of days ago. If you're not in full screen, so I'm going to do this now. Emma, are you watching?
Yeah.
So if I click the green button.
Yeah.
And that sort of makes the window not full screen. And then I click and hold. This is the key thing. Click and hold the green button. Nothing happens. Go on. I'll try it again. Look. And now I can select a second window, so it's split screen. And I didn't know about that. Isn't that brilliant?
You're going to die, actually. That's a good one.
No one saw it. So, yeah, round of applause for Dad. Marwood, did you enjoy that cool thingy?
Yeah.
Excellent.
Kind of.
It
was kind of.
But
at the same time.
But it is really, really... And I think it's only available in High Sierra, and it's overlooked a lot.
No, it works in Sierra.
It works in Sierra as well, apparently.
Oh, does it? Right, okay.
There you go.
But it's, it's really awesome. So you can have sort of mail open in one window, working on a Word document or browsing in another window, and it's another sort of screen, as it were. So that's my pick.
Awesome, mate. Thank you very much. My cool thing is Retro Soccer, which is... Oh, here we go. It's worked. Retro Soccer on iOS. It's great. It's a free game. You can do little in-app purchases with it and stuff, which it's not too bad. But the gameplay is really fun. You score the most amazing goals if you get the hang of the controls. Ellis is just a whiz on it, and the goals he scores are Jeff Hurst level. They really are superb. Show me how to... by the way, I saw a great thing this week. There was a tweet went out and it said, if you don't understand betting, England are 12-1 to win the World Cup. That means at 12-1, if you put £10 on, you're going to lose £10.
A bit harsh.
But it kind of sums it up pretty well. But yeah, Retro Soccer is absolutely superb. It's loads and loads of fun. If you're not very good, it doesn't matter because you can still have fun playing it.
I'd second that one. It's very sensible soccer. Anybody remember
it sensible? It's lovely. And the other one is Stickman Archery. Stickman Archery. Oh my God. Because me and Ellis used to play the Stickman Archer stuff where you took it in turns. And it's brilliant. Stickman Archery is awesome as well. I'll put that on next week, perhaps. Never mind. Where can we get a hold of you, Monsieur Campion?
You can get me at Campion You Can Twitter, get me in the Slack room. And, there should be a review up hopefully by the end of the weekend at britishtechnetwork.com/reviews.
Excellent, mate. And you're our annual appearance on Mac.
Yeah. My annual appearance on Mac. You haven't found me on the big show.
But you're here. Welcome on a Friday, mate, anytime.
Yeah, enjoyed it.
Good. Adam, where were you?
As always, I'm at maccast.com, or you can find Maccast in your favorite podcast app, and also check out the iOS show at theiosshow.com. Finally, Maccast on every social media you can probably think of.
Excellent. For all the pedants that are going to write in saying that I've got the wrong ident on the close-up screens, it really doesn't matter. Just move on, okay? Patrice, where will you be?
Every week, or almost every week, at least here on the Mac Show, every 2 weeks actually, on the Mac Show, and everything I do on thepatrice.com.
Excellent. Where are you, James? Being bathed.
Yes, you can find me on Twitter at James Bernay.
Being spoiled by French women and English women alike.
I have. I've got to run. The minute this finishes, my dinner's going to be ready.
Yes.
Mate, they're fighting over each other. They're not fighting over you. You can walk in any time you like, and you'll be still a hero.
Thank you, mate.
And last but by no means least, Marwood, where can we get a hold of you, pal? don't answer that.
British?
No.
No?
American Mac.
American Mac?
American Mac.com. Oh, God.
Oh, blimey.
I don't want to be in your asshole tonight, mate. Mac, Marwood, no. You've been absolutely superb. Thank you for coming along. You are welcome anytime, pal. Glad to have you on.
You're doing really well.
You have. You've been storming, mate. My hero. And Will, where would you be?
I thought we would be at BritishMac.com.
Excellent, mate. My name is Ewan Rankin. Get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter, and you can follow the network at British Tech. Don't forget Carl Swagger does that. Is Bob still in the chat room or not? Has he gone? No, Bob's now known as unidentified. There we go. He's still there, though, technically. we'll be back again next week. Kyle will be doing the news show every day next week as well, so don't forget about that. And we'll see. Have a great time. I think we're going to do normal times Thursday, Friday next week. Big show Thursday and Mac show on Friday. Have a great Easter weekend and enjoy it. And thanks ever so much for listening.